Praise the Lord. Amen. Shabbat shalom to all of you. Good morning. Shalom. Hector, fantastic job. Fantastic job. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I don't have a funny story, but isn't it ironic that Rabbi wrote a book on Yom Kippur and he's like, okay, you do the message. like, really? But praise the Lord for that. Something that brought a smile to me, however, my son Matthew, he's the older one at Utica College. And so sometime back, it was before Elizabeth and Ava, Kathy, they went up to Canada with the ministry. And they were here, and I had bought Matthew a necklace with the high on it. And it was a silver one, so he wore it all the time. He wears it all the time. He has a Star of David over the mirror in his car, but he bought himself a gold necklace with a high on it. And so he was going to one of his new classes at the start of the semester, and the professor looked at him and he said, do you know what that means? He's like, what? He's like, that around your neck. He's like, oh yeah. He told him, he said, it means high, it means life and all these things. And he's like, really? And the professor said, I'm Jewish, but I've never seen an African American wear something like that. And Matthew's like, oh, because I'm Jewish. He said, I'm Jewish. So, yeah, it's just no big deal. Amen? So that brought a smile to us, and I'm sure it did to our Heavenly Father. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people to proclaim the Word of God. We ask, Lord, that you open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to see and hear that which your Spirit is saying to the community. We pray, Lord, that you would speak through me boldly and with clarity, that there be nothing missing. And, Lord, that everything that I say not only will be in this place, but it will be in the atmosphere for our community. And it will reach the Jewish community as they're praying now and they're doing all their repentance. And, Father, we pray that it will just travel from shore to shore, to sea, the bold truth of your gospel in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, you know, this is a day of prayer, contemplation, and seeking forgiveness both from each other and from God. A reflective time of prayer, repentance, fasting, and charity. It is also a time for our community to come together. And I'm reminded of what the Lord tells us about community, companionship, and charity in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And some of the slides I'll be speaking and saying, they may not even be there, so I'll give Jim the prompt to move forward. But Ecclesiastes 9, 4 through 12 reads, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Picture that. Back to back, there is a fighting stance in that. Three is even better, for a triple braid cord is not easily broken. This is the spirit of Yom Kippur. The first slide, the next slide, Jim. So what is the bold truth about this time of year? In this scripture, in Zechariah 13:1, and it reads, in that day, a spring will be opened to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to cleanse them from sin and impurity. The question is, what is speaking about the atonement? We'll see. In Jeremiah 33:14-16 tells us, behold, days are coming. It is a declaration of Adonai. When I will fulfill the good word I spoke concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. And verse 16, in those days will Judah be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which he will be called, Adonai, our righteousness. That was a shadow of the atonement. In Leviticus 23:28, we've read it, you've heard it. You are not to do any kind of work on that set day, for it is Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before Adonai your God. Numbers 29, 7 through 11 reads as follows. 10 days later, on the 10th day of the same month, you must call another holy assembly. On that day, the Day of Atonement, the people must go without food and must do no ordinary work. Verse 8. You must present a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It will consist of one young bull, one ram, and 7 one-year-old male lambs, all with no defect. This offering must be accompanied by the prescribed grain offerings of the choice flour moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts of choice flour with the bull, 4 quarts of choice flour with the ram, and 2 quarts of choice flour with each of the 7 lambs. You must also sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering. This is in addition to the sin offering of atonement and the regular daily burnt offering with its grain offering and their accompanying liquid offerings. The question is, atonement earned? That is the question. Ezekiel 43:25-27 tells us, every day for 7 days, a male goat, a young bull, and a ram from the flock will be sacrificed as a sin offering. None of these animals may have physical defects of any kind. Do this each day for 7 days to cleanse and make atonement for the altar, thus setting it apart for holy use. On the 8th day, and on each day afterward, the priest will sacrifice on the altar burnt offerings, the peace offerings of the people. Then I will accept you. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. So the next slide, or did you go too far? Back up, please. Thank you. Just follow me because you're not going to follow it any other way. Amen. So hold right there. So let's look at the list. The burnt offerings through this scripture was 1 young bull, 1 ram, 7 one-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Remember that, no defects. Peace offering for the people. Numbers 7:88, there was a total of 204 animals alone. Alone. The next slide. The grain offering, choice flour, moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts of flour, choice flour with the bull, four quarts with the ram, 2 quarts of flour with each of the 7. Every day for 7 days, a male goat, a young bull, a ram from the flock was sacrificed as a sin offering. Cleanse and make atonement for the altar, the covering. Now, think about this. Some of us have a hard time buying gasoline. 240 animals to get you out of debt before the Lord is quite a bit. Amen? So imagine if you that had to be presented and you had to, listen, they had to be from the goat, the bull, the ram, and all of that. But you had to bring it, or you had to bring what was a monetary equivalent, Corbin, if you will, to be offered up for the Lord. Imagine if we had to do that today. Imagine, oh, well, Peter would have a fit. First of all, so I don't think they would let us do that. So in the Talmud, the rabbis recorded this, that in the time of the Second Temple, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, a scarlet cord represented the sins of the people, and it was tied to the temple doors. Matthew 27:28 tells us, they, Roman soldiers, stripped him, Yeshua, and put a scarlet rope or cord around him. Let that sink in. When the ordinance of Yom Kippur were completed, the cord on the temple doors would turn from scarlet to white. As spoken in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Every year, be reminded, every year this phenomenon would take place each year on the Day of Atonement to signify that the atonement had been completed and accepted. Remember the list. What we went through, all of those offerings, and they had to be completed and accepted every year. The burnt offering, the peace offering, the grain offering, all of those things had to happen. However, something happened of immeasurable proportions about 4 years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The scarlet cord stayed scarlet. It was red, and it stayed red. The question is, did the priest miss something on the list? Or was it because the final atonement had been offered up, the final sacrifice for sin? In 30 AD, it happened to be the same time in history when Messiah came to Jerusalem to die as the final sacrifice for sin, the final atonement. Somebody say the final sacrifice.
The final sacrifice.
So let's see what the scripture goes on to say, because if we're going to say that this happened, there was a final sacrifice, what does the word of God tell us? Because you may doubt me, but you cannot doubt the scripture.
Amen.
Is everybody okay with that?
Amen.
You're not getting out of it. Doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what synagogue, what temple was doing, what was happening in Jerusalem. The word of God stands forever.
Amen.
The book of Hebrews. Thank you. I thought I would preach it. The book of Hebrews declares there is no longer we are no longer saved by sacrifices of the temple or of the Yom Kippur, but by the atonement of Messiah. Hebrews 10:10 through 12. And I'm reading the Amplified version because you need to hear it and understand it. So bear with me. Amen. Verse 10. And in accordance with the will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been sanctified, that is, set apart as holy for God and his purposes, through the offering of the body of Yeshua, Messiah, the anointed, once for all. Every priest stands at his altar of service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifices over and over, which are never able to strip away, to deliver completely sins that envelop and cover us. Whereas Messiah, having offered one sacrifice, the all-sufficient sacrifice of himself, somebody say himself, for sins for all time, sat down, signifying the completion of atonement of sin at the right hand of God, the position of honor. The rabbis pinpoint this unfathomable change at the time of Yeshua's death, a sign that the final atonement had absolutely taken place. Hebrews 10:18 through 14 goes on to say, now there is absolute forgiveness and complete cancellation of the penalty of these things that are no longer offering, but to be made for atonement of sin. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells, by means of the blood of Yeshua, by this new and living way, which he initiated and opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen?
Yeah.
Hebrews is vivid about how this is and what the position is and how we should look at it and what you should know, because it is a fact that will never change. Because Hebrews 9:25 and 26 says, and he, Yeshua, did not offer himself again and again as a Kohanim Gadol, entered into the holiest holies year after year with blood that is not his own. So the high priest didn't even take his own, but Yeshua did. For he then would have needed to suffer again and again from the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has been revealed once and for all at the close of ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10:29 says this, how much greater punishment do you think he, or me and you, will deserve who has rejected and trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has considered unclean and common the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and has insulted the Spirit of grace who imparts the unmerited favor and blessings of God? How much more the punishment? Romans 5:18 tells us this, so then, as through one trespass, Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For just as through one man's disobedience, his failure to hear, his carelessness, the many were made sinners, So through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. That's righteousness. And verse 20. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness, the trespass, by defining the unmasking sin. But where sin increased, God's remarkable, gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more. So that sin has reigned in death, so also grace would reign through righteousness, which brings eternal life through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. There's a powerful scripture that 1 Corinthians 1:18 records. And it says here, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd, and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead, because they reject it. But to us who are being saved, God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." The question was, atonement earned? No way. There was only one way. We're going to watch a short video that's going to actually open up Matthew 27, 35 through 55 in about 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Amen? So what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to us as a congregation? He's saying to us, if we're going to be messianic and we're going to reach Jewish people, we're going to reach the lost, we cannot be squeamish about the message. We cannot be fearful about the message, because that's Bible truth. I just read to you what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd, and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead, because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." Atonement earned? No way. There was only one way. That was the way. The next slide, do you have it up, Jim? Keep going. Yes. I'm going to read Zechariah 14:9, and then there's a slide that I want to have, and we're going to get there. 14:9, "Adonai will then be king over all the earth. In that day, Adonai will be Echad, and his name Echad. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord shall be the only one worshipped, and his name the only one." And so when we back up, or go forward, I'm not sure where you are right now. Right there. "This came to my spirit after I was finishing this message," and this is the close of the message. But let's read it together. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know but the blood of Yeshua." Go ahead, Jim. "For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Yeshua. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Nothing can be misplaced, nothing but the blood of Yeshua. Not of works, this all of grace, nothing but the blood of Yeshua. This is all the hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Yeshua. This is my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Father, we thank you for this time and this opportunity to expound on your word. We know that it is true, it is everlasting, it is eternal, and all things that were done in the past were a shadow or a forthcoming of what we just seen in the video. It is done, all set for all eternity. As a believer in Messiah, I will never be shaken on the fact that he did it. He did it for the world. He did it for the Jew first and also to the nations. But Lord, let us all be awakened during this season of Yom Kippur, this day, Lord. Let no Jew, no Gentile, no one sitting on the fence be denied the truth that the sacrifice was for them. It was not for me. It was for them. It was not for this congregation. It was for all the temples and synagogues in this area. It was for the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, for every Jewish person of blood, bought, redeemed person, Lord. It was for all of us. We thank you, O Lord, that this message never be erased from our soul, our heart, and our spirit. It doesn't matter what we thought before. Your word declared it today as it is a fact. And we got an animation of just what it, a glimpse of what it took for Yeshua to have one drop of blood be shed for me and everybody sitting under the sound of my voice. We stand in agreement with your word. We will proclaim it for all eternity, to the Jew first and then to the nations. But Lord, let us have boldness. Let us declare, because there's only one way. It is the way. It is not through bulls, goats, rams, doves, pigeons, or anything else. It is through the door, and that was the cross. So we thank you, O God, what we have seen, heard, and we pray, Lord, that we will have boldness and you will anoint our lips when we go out in the community to share the love of Messiah. This we pray, and faith will do, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.